I'm attorney Eric Daigle, and welcome to the Guardian Mindset Podcast. We're happy to have you. Now, if you just came upon our podcast, this is our first show. And the importance of this is that we're going to focus on why this is called the Guardian Mindset and what the benefit and what the intent of the Guardian Mindset Podcast is. You know, this is focused on a service-related profession, you know, dedicated to a profession of service, law enforcement, corrections, medical personnel, fire personnel, military. You know, I've been in the service application my whole career. And after I've spent 30 years, I guess you get the ability to look back and you get the ability to identify things that are directly related to building a Guardian Mindset. Now, I'm going to be honest. When I got the trademark for Guardian Mindset almost a decade ago, it didn't mean what it means today. It means many different things. So let's really focus on where we came from. First, my name's Eric Daigle. I'm an attorney. I'm the principal and owner of Daigle Law Group, LLC. And we are a law firm or a consulting firm that's dedicated to law enforcement, corrections, and fire agencies across the country to enhance their operation through litigation defense, policy development, training, and consulting work. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, because I think what's important here is that I feel the need to help you all get better. And one of the things, well, whether you have one day on the job, or whether you have a year on the job, whether you have 10 years in the job or 15 years in the job, I'll just tell you one thing. Today, as I sit here, I know a lot more than I did when it was my turn to have one day on the job or 1 year on the job or 10 years in the job. And you know what? The difference of back then and today is that you really could use somebody to give you some insight. I live under a philosophy of knowledge is power. And what I hope to do with this podcast as it grows is bring on experts across the industry that will help you get some basic knowledge that you can utilize to make your job more effective. And when you do that, what we're going to build is a better you, meaning today's day and age, there's a lot of things that you're faced with that we haven't been faced with in years. And I've been doing this job for a while, and I've realized that maybe it's just time that we give you a means to learn some knowledge. So let me start with myself. My service started in the military. I was a reservist, an Army reservist, and then I was activated for Desert Shield, Desert Storm. When I returned back after being 19 years old, I finally got my life mission. And that's the most important thing that we know about people who are in the service industry, meaning you're here because of a calling. I don't know what makes people go out and serve in the military or what serve in law enforcement or fire or public safety. I can't explain it to anybody else. And people ask me all the time, how do we find better recruits? How do we do recruitment? How do we go out and identify these people? And one of the challenges that you all know is that this is a calling. Serving is a calling. You know, because we know one thing about serving. Listen, you're not going to become rich over serving, right? You're not going to get your own plane, and you're not going to probably have your own YouTube channel. But the one thing I do know is that you're going to get some satisfaction. And the challenge of today, and what I really can't get my mind around on the serving aspect, is that the job you do in the service industry, pretty much, and I'm speaking primarily to law enforcement, but it applies equally to military and to fire and to public safety and EMS, is that, you know, it's the one job where you dedicate your time and your energy to doing something for your community. And it's what I find interesting. It's the only job where people actually think they could tell you how to do your job better than you. And it's amazing to me that there is nobody walking into an accountant's office and saying, hey, listen, you should really do numbers a different way. Right? There's nobody that's going to walk in to a computer office and tell them how to do things differently. There's no one that's going to walk into a financial office and say, listen, you know, I don't have a financial degree. I know nothing about finance, but I think you guys should do it differently. But the one thing about the service industry, especially right now in law enforcement, everybody thinks they can do it better. Everybody thinks they can do it differently. And it really is confusing to me how everybody has an opinion as to how you're supposed to serve. So here's what I learned. And what I've learned is that service comes from the heart. And I remember I started as far back as 15 years old as a police explorer. I don't know why I got the calling. I don't know why you got the calling. But one thing I know is that I've enjoyed every step of the process. And I think that's the benefit of the calling, is that you're giving back to yourself, you're giving back to society. So since 1988, I've been involved in the military. I've served overseas. I've worn many badges. And my best badges were my military police badge, my decade with the Connecticut State Police, and my current operation as a consultant, as a litigator, as a trainer. What my team and I discuss on a daily basis is, how can we share information with you? Listen, we've been doing training for almost two decades. If you check us out online at dagolawgroup.com and any of our subsidiaries, DLG Learning Center, DLG Testing Center, DLG Policy Center, you're going to see that we are focused on being a support system for the service industry. If I could take away all of your pain, I would. And I think that's my mission. That's what I want to really get out to those of you that are paying attention to this podcast, is that I don't want you to just fill your time with listening to this podcast. I want you to want to listen to this podcast because I want you to truly believe that we're not here to waste your time. We're here to show you or share with you our years of knowledge and experience in the hopes that it will make yours a little bit better, that you might be able to find a way a little easier through this forest that's in front of you. So listen, after spending my 10 years with the Connecticut State Police, where I spent most of my time in investigative services and working homicide, I overachieved myself out of a good job. And that is, I really love my job with Connecticut State Police. I went to law school. I did my bachelor's degree and my law degree while I was on the job. And I went to law school never intending to leave the job, because that's what I always wanted to do. And once I passed the bar and got my degree, one of the things that I found very interesting is that I got a phone call to go and do law enforcement misconduct litigation defense. And I remember the phone call, and I remember the meeting with the law firm that said, listen, hey, do you want to leave the job and why don't you come over and be a lawyer? And I was like, hell no. Why would you want to do that? Listen, I realize that I'm not going to make a lot of money, but I really like my job. It's done well for my family. And working homicide, what all of you know is the reason why we do this job is there was nothing better than the thrill of the chase, right? There's nothing better than the figuring out of cases that you can't get your mind around, the having to find that piece of evidence or get that confession, the work, the grind, the things that we do every day that people all over don't understand, they don't see. You see, I think one of our biggest challenges in the service industry is that we're not the type of people that need recognition. And what I mean by that is, you don't go to a medical call and save somebody's life and then take a selfie of yourself and be like, look at what I did today. I saved somebody's life. Or you're not on the fire apparatus and go and fight a fire for hours and hours on end and be miserable. And then when you're done, go on social media and tell everybody what you did so they could pat you on the back. You're a law enforcement, you get called to a hot call, domestic violence where you have to wrestle and use force to take someone in, and it's a tough day. But you don't do that and then go out and tell everybody about it. You just do it. And when you're done, you go out and do it again. And when you're done, you go out and do it again. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate what it takes to be in the service industry. I appreciate the dedication of law enforcement and military. And this Guardian Mindset podcast is, what can we do to help you learn maybe a shortcut or two, or more importantly, do what I've done my whole life? See, I've been very lucky. Over the next however long this survives, you're going to meet people in my life that have given me guidance. Because the one thing I want you to understand is that none of us do this alone. We all learn from somebody. We all have mentors. We all have people that give us advice. And the one thing that I want to share with you is all the advice that I've gotten, because the advice that I've gotten lets me do what I do today, lets me do it with a passion. And it's not a passion about, hey, let's just go make some money. You know, making money is an everyday thing. What we really need to focus on is if you're a brand new officer and you're out on patrol and you're afraid, which is okay. If you're a brand new officer and you're on patrol and you have a lack of confidence because you're afraid that you're going to mess something up, you're afraid that you're going to be a YouTube video, you're afraid that somebody with no ability or knowledge is going to criticize you, which they are, we're here for you. That's the purpose. We're here for you to make sure that we can build you some confidence, to make sure you understand how special you are, and more importantly, how many people there are out there across this wonderful country that really want you to succeed, that really want you to be amazing at your job. Because in the end, when the day you retire and the day you move on, or I say this all the time, the day I get to the pearly gates, I'm going to look back and I'm going to know that we've kicked ass and took names. And that's what's important, that you have dedicated your life to a service profession. So why am I calling it the Guardian Mindset? Well, I got to be honest with you. When I first took a trademark out on this, it was about 2012. And I took out two trademarks that year. One was called The Path of the Guardian, and one was called the Guardian Mindset. And these are service marks that we use here at DLG. And the Guardian Mindset has always been there, but we really didn't have a place for it. And it wasn't until my team, Sean, Jake, and everybody came along and we found a place for it. Now, years ago, when I decided to trademark the term Guardian Mindset, I didn't really know what to do with it. I did know what to do with the first part, which is called The Path of the Guardian. And The Path of the Guardian is our weekly video series. It's a 10-minute video series that gives officers a legal update on search and seizure issues, use of force issues, current trends in the industry, kind of like a knowledge, a roll call video, something that will help you. We called it The Path of the Guardian because that was your path. You are a guardian, and we wanted to get you down the path. At the same time, I had this guardian mindset. Now, I'm going to tell you where I got these from, and I'm going to tell you why. And it comes from Sir Robert Peel. But I wanted you to understand the process and how we got here. So I leave the Connecticut State Police, and I take my vested retirement, and I go over to the law firm, and I become a litigator, somebody responsible for handling law enforcement cases involving search and seizure, excessive force, all sorts of claims in which people sued law enforcement for every day. And the interesting part about that is I started to see a side that I didn't like. And I got to be honest with you, when I first started in the legal arena, I didn't know that I was going to stay there. I didn't know that that was going to be my job because I was like a lawyer. No, I'm a cop. I'm a military guy. I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't like lawyers. Well, unfortunately, I turned around and I realized that being a lawyer was the best way that I could dedicate myself to you and to the service industry. Because it wasn't long when I got into the litigation arena where I saw and watched the damage and the stress that litigation put on those of you in the service industry. And listen, this is long before the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson. This is long before the death of George Floyd. This is long before these things. This was litigation in the early 2000s. Yes, I'm old. And one thing I've learned is that with years comes some experience. Now, the one thing I want you to know is that as I sit here today, I still hold a badge. Don't know what to do with it, but I hold a badge. Meaning in Connecticut, I've been certified as a police officer for over 30 years. I truly appreciate, and you can't see, but behind me is a list of all the badges that I've ever worn. And my kids have put them all in a shadow box for me as a good display. And I like to look at that shadow box every once in a while because all those badges, from Explorer to Military Police to Connecticut State Police to even in the security industry and finally with the Southington Police Department where I still hold a badge, every one of those badges means something. It means that I've been given the opportunity to be the guardian of somebody's community, to be the one responsible for making sure people could live their lives without fear, without threat, without violence, without crime. And it's something that we all take very, very serious. So one of the things that you're going to see, and I'm going to start with this because I'm just introducing myself to you. I'm Eric Daigle. And the one thing I want you to know is I got two problems. One, I'm biased. And two, I'm not an apologist. So let's start with the bias. I do a lot of expert witness work, a lot of use of force analysis, police procedure analysis, security industry expert work. And one of the things that I am always hit with when I'm in depositions is attorneys who look at me and say, Eric, are you biased? And I say, well, yes, I am. Because at this point in my career, I know what that word means. But the key part of being biased is to understand what your biases are. So there's two types of bias, as you know, implicit and explicit. Well, I'm not explicitly biased in any way, but I am implicitly biased, meaning that I've spent 30 years in the service industry. And in my heart, I truly believe one thing. That is, so in this country, there's approximately 17,000 police departments and approximately 680,000 police officers. And think about that. That's not even counting fire. That's not counting medical. That's not counting the military. There are millions of people that are dedicated to a service profession. And service profession is somebody that will share their everyday environment to make other people's lives better. So what's my bias? Well, my bias is this. In the law enforcement entity, with 17,000 police departments and 680,000 police officers, I believe in my heart that 99% of them every day get up with the desire and the will to do the job as well as they possibly can, right? That they go out there every day, they put on their uniform, they load their car, they check in for service, they get in their car and they go to work waiting for that radio call. And they do it every day with the desire to do it as well as they possibly can. And they have fear. They're human beings. And we're going to talk about that today because that's really an important part, is that people in this country need to remember one thing, is that service industry, law enforcement, fire, military, well, they're still human beings. They've chosen a job in which they're willing to be guardians of the community, but they're still human beings. So one of the things that I know for sure is that if I believe that 99% of the law enforcement officers in this country are out there with the intent and the desire to do the job as good or as well as they possibly can, then that leaves the 1%. The 1% of 680,000 that, are just not there for the right reason. Their calling was not this. They took this job, but they shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be in law enforcement because they're not here for the right reasons. And the interesting part is, I will tell you this. So I get the joy of teaching at police academies. And the one thing that I do every time I go to a police academy is I go into the academy and I say, hey, listen, I got two questions for you as recruits. The first question is, what the hell are you doing here? Why did you choose this job right now? In the middle of the most difficult and tumultuous time in law enforcement history, what made you choose this job? Why did the service industry call you now? And the second question I ask him is, what are you afraid of? But the part of the first question that's important is that, if their response is because I'm here because it's a good job, well, no, it's not. You work nights and weekends and holidays. You're going to be away from your family. You don't make a lot of money. What do you mean it's a good job? If their response is, it's got a good pension, it's got a good benefits, I kind of look at them and I just turn the other way and go, hey, listen, this is not for you, man. You ain't going to make it. This is not your job. Do you know why? Because you're going to have some terrible days. You're going to have some bad days. And why are you going to keep doing it? It's interesting as we look as the law enforcement profession right now where something's happening that we've never seen before in the country. And that is, officers are leaving the job with 7, 8, 10, 12 years in the job. They're just done. They're like, hey, I'm good. I'm going to go be a barista. I'm out. I'm not here anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. That would never happen when I started the job. That would never happen when some of you listening would start the job. Because the one thing we know is that you just don't leave this job. You do the ride. Once you're on the ride, you're on the ride for the whole ride. And it may not be a good ride the whole way, but you only got one thing in mind, which is, when can I get to the pension? When can I get to the backside? Make this all worthwhile. All this misery that we've gone through, all this death that we've seen, all this pain that we've seen sometimes in our own lives. How long? How long is this ride? Well, the one thing is clear here is that I believe that 99% are here to do the right thing at the right time. That's the back of my challenge coin. It's really simple. Do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. And with that comes to the second part, which is, I'm not a police apologist. Meaning, I believe right is right. I believe wrong is wrong. And I have been across the board, and I try my hardest to be as consistent as I can possibly be. Meaning that the 1% that are not here to do the job correctly, well, it's our job to find them. And it's our job to move them on, because they don't belong here. They haven't deserved the right to be on this job. So the good thing is, when we really talk about the biases, is that I'm not a police apologist. And the one thing about that is that I'm not afraid to call good good and bad bad. And unfortunately, the one thing about that is, boy, you can make everybody upset. But we all have to be this. If we're going to protect the service industry, we all have to realize a few things. First thing is, not everybody deserves to do this job. The second thing is, if you can't do this job correctly, then you can't be here. So the key is, I want, because if you look through, you're going to see, and even doing this podcast, you open yourself up for scrutiny. I don't care. There's plenty of people I've made unhappy. And those of you that do it right, the fact that I call it wrong when somebody does it wrong benefits the people that do it right. And that's the way that I look at it. There's a lot of experts out there that always say officers do things right and always say that officers do things wrong. I don't believe that. I believe that a good majority of the officers do things correctly, that sometimes they make mistakes and sometimes they need retraining and sometimes they need rehabilitation. And there's sometimes they do things intentionally. And when they do things intentionally, then this job is not for them. And we have to protect the job. You know, we use words in this job like integrity, ethics, honor, pride. Well, those words mean something to me. Do they mean something to you? They mean something to me, meaning that we have to protect them. We have to protect the entity that applies. And so let me start out by just starting an interesting conversation. I'm looking at an article that was written by a Kathleen Diaz. It's a January 1, 2020 article from Police One. And you can find this article. And it's really interesting because when we talk about the service industry and we talk about what we're involved in this country, this article is titled, "A Letter to the American Public, Why You Must Decide What You Want from Cops." And she, her little bio line says, "If you recruit well, conduct thorough background checks, train constantly, you can have a human with a good heart and good ethics, but you can't have perfection." And that's a very important part that I want to start with here. Because while building the Guardian mindset, I'm not building you to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But what we're talking about is, are we good people? Are we doing things for the right reason at the right time? That's the key. And one of the things that that she says in this article, which I find really interesting, is that she says, it's time for the American public to decide what we want from law enforcement. Do we want warriors, counselors, guardians, priests, social workers, magicians? Or do we want the cheapest cops possible? Or do we want well-trained, well-screened cops who are equipped with every tool needed for every possible eventuality? Or do we want the beat cop from granddaddy's hometown with nothing but a smile, a wheel gun, and one set of handcuffs? Really, we want it all, don't we, in America? We do. We want it all without paying for any of it. Now, one thing that she puts here, which I find really interesting, is we're going to talk about recruitment. And one, this is why we want to keep those that we have. That's why we want to help you with the Guardian mindset, is because, hey, you know, it's hard to get you, but we really would like to keep you. And the key part of recruitment is recruitment issues today. It's not even a recruitment It's not recruitment pond. It's a recruitment puddle. There's not a lot of people out there that want the service industry, specifically in law enforcement. And what she says, which I find interesting, is she says, there's a new job description out there for law enforcement. There's a new job description. It says, every officer in 2021 needs to be an empathetic, well-spoken, SEAL-trained ninja with double majors in psychology and social work, who considers the job a calling, has no bills to pay, no nerves to fray, enforces the law completely objectively while only using discretion at all times, unless it's going to result in arresting or not arresting the wrong person for the at the wrong time for the wrong thing in the opinion of every member of the public. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it make sense to the point where we're actually looking at society now and saying, hey, could you tell us just what you want? What do you want from us? Well, the one thing I do know is that we can't have perfection. And as she says, what you can have is humans who try. In fact, you can have someone who struggles, someone who fails, who gets better with time, who gets better with experience, who has setbacks, but you can't have perfection. In fact, you can break perfectly good humans by insisting that they be something that they can't be, things no one can be. Decide now, as long as cops get recruited from the human race, they are going to be exactly human with everything that means. The rest of society is also human after all. And I really think that that's an important process, because one of the things we're going to close with when we do this first podcast is our Finding a Way Forward video. And when I watch this video, really we're talking about all the issues that we're dealing with around the country. But before we do that, what we're going to do is realize that over the years, my predictions unfortunately have come true. I was looking back over one of my first Path of the Guardian video training programs, and that was in 2015, where I talked about the guardian and warrior mindset and the application. And I'm going to read you what I put in the transcript. It said, ladies and gentlemen, this is not going to stop. It is only going to get worse. So it's time that we address the real issues. Well, since 2015, some can say that things have gotten worse for law enforcement. It's sad to watch all the experienced officers who clearly deserve the right to retire, to watch them leave. That's sad because power is going with them. So what does the guardian mindset mean? Listen, it's not possible for you to read everything. It's just not. It's not possible for you to memorize every policy and procedure in your SOP. It's not possible. It's not possible for you to research and read every report or white paper that's released on how to do the job correctly. So that's why we're here to help. We're here to help because we want to make it interesting. We want to make it intriguing. We want to make you think. And we want to make sure that you are thinking outside the box. So if I believe in knowledge is power, with your busy schedule, what we must do is we must find the most efficient and focused way to bring you that knowledge, or as I like to say, develop the guardian mindset. So is there a difference? Now I got to stop for a second, because one of the things I do know is that because I've watched it over the years is maybe not as much now as 10 years ago, but every time you have a discussion about guardian, there's somebody in the room that wants to go, we're not guardians, we're warriors. Now, I can tell you one thing. There is a difference in this world between a guardian and a warrior. And I've been both. And the one thing I know is that what we are in the service industry is guardians. We're intended to be guardians. We are designed to be guardians, protectors of our communities. It's a job that we accepted when you rose your right hand and you agreed to do it correctly. You remember that? The oath of office, the thing you agreed to do. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You can go do another job. There's plenty of jobs out there, probably jobs that pay well, that let you go home and see your family, that make it so that you can go to Thanksgiving and Christmas. But you chose this one. So what I want to talk about is the initial concept. So If I've been saying guardian and your mind has been upset about that, well, let's talk about the difference. What is a warrior? Well, a warrior is an occupying force. Well, we're not that. The rules of engagement between a police officer and a soldier are different. There is no room for collateral damage in policing. We are guided by constitutional principles, and it is important that we protect the democracy of the people who live in our communities. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to listen to this quote. And I want you to really hear what I'm saying. Recognize always that the power of the police to fulfill their functions and duties is dependent on public approval of their existence, actions, and behavior, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect. Use physical force only when the exercise of persuasion, advice, and warning is found to be insufficient to obtain public cooperation to an extent necessary to secure observance of law or to restore order, and to use only the minimum degree of physical force which is necessary on any particular occasion for achieving a police objective. You say, Eric, well, that sounds really interesting. What are you reading? Are you reading a policy of ours? Are you reading some book somewhere? I said, no, what I'm reading is called the Pelin Principles. It's two of the Pelin Principles put together. But it's very, very important. And when we talk about the guardian mindset, I need to focus on where this thought process came from. And it came from the concept of Sir Robert Peel, the father of modern day policing. And when he designed this in 1829, he would never know what we would be dealing with now. As long ago as 1829, Sir Robert Peel understood the importance of the guardian mindset and the importance of policing with the community rather than over the community. Now, Sir Robert Peel in 1829 was the father of modern day law enforcement, in the fact that he designed the first established police department, which were called the Bobbies. It was a metropolitan, or the British Columbia, and the application of the Bobbies. And what he did when designing the Bobbies is he needed 1,000 police officers. And his writings say, I went out into the community and I found 1,000 of the best that the community had to offer, and I made them guardians of the community. And that's really our concept here, right? What do we know? Well, we definitely know that policing is a dangerous business. And we're not saying that officers should not be tactically sound. And we are definitely not saying that officers should not be constantly alert to their surroundings. In fact, oftentimes I refer to the guardian mindset as we are guardians, and every once in a while got to get a little warrior-like, right? Take care of an issue on behalf of their community. Officer safety is important, and we acknowledge that there are times in an officer's career where he or she will be required to use force. The officers can even be required to take a life to protect the officer or a citizen from imminent death. Now listen, one thing I want you to be clear with is that law enforcement, in order to operate effectively, must continue to do the things that we are criticized on. We are still going to arrest people when they violate the law. We are still going to have the legal right to use force to prevent serious harm or death to ourselves or a third party. And that really comes under a tremendous amount of scrutiny today. And we're going to spend a good amount of time dealing with issues on how to evaluate that. And you know what? There's plenty of us out here that will say, take care of business, do it right, follow your policy, follow your training, follow the legal standards, and it'll all work out. I know you don't feel that way, which is what's important to us, is that the purpose of this podcast is to make you feel some confidence in the decision making, because there are unique situations that you're going to find yourself in. And there's a lot of experience out there that can help you find the way forward through that experience. You know, one of the things that I want you to leave this first podcast with and consider as we move forward, especially as you watch the current status of this country with police reform, with attempt to defund the police, with litigation that's tying hands of law enforcement across the country, with individuals who not only are not supporting law enforcement, but seem to want to live in an environment of chaos. Now, we know one thing about a civilized society is that it has rules. And that means there's rules for everybody. There's rules for law enforcement and there's rules for citizens. And everybody's got to follow the rules because the rules are important. And the part that we want to make sure as you focus on these rules and look at the fact that what we're talking about here is still human beings, right? The difference, and Sir Robert Peel said this very clearly, the police are the public and the public are the police. The only difference between police and the public is that you've chosen a job of service. You've chosen a job of putting yourselves in harm's way for the greater good. Why? I don't know. I don't know why we do it. We do it. That's our calling. And for those of us that have that calling, we're fully emboldened and embrace that calling. But I want you to leave thinking of this. Till the next podcast, how can I make a positive difference in my community today? You know, for some of us, the longer you look back, or for some of us, we have a lot longer to look back than the younger people that are listening. But I suggest to you that each of us have come onto the job for one reason. And that is, we do believe in making a positive difference in our community. A lot of us volunteer, a lot of us coach, a lot of us do everything we can. We want to see people succeed. Unfortunately, the problem is that we spend most of your on-duty time seeing people at their worst. The worst situations that human beings could ever be faced with is often a normal day for you in the service industry. Law enforcement, corrections, fire, EMT, military. So you got to understand that after a period of time, it takes its toll. It becomes overwhelming. And I know just because I fall into the category, you become a bit cynical. And you kind of develop that us versus them mentality. But we have to focus on breaking that. For you, your responsibility with procedural justice and police legitimacy is making sure that we work together to build positive relationships with our customers. Well, who's our customers? Our customers, the community that we serve. And we provide the positive reinforcement necessary to sustain the Guardian mindset. Listen, I thank you for spending the time with us today. I thank you for tuning in. I promise you that we're going to provide you little nuggets of gold along the way that hopefully will make your career a little bit better and you a little bit more successful. Because with that, everyone that's a little more successful, it only benefits the industry as a whole. Now, I have a saying and a tagline that I always leave with in our Path to the Guardian videos, and I'm going to do the same for the podcast, and that is that you have a duty. Your duty is to help the people who need your help, protect the people that need your protection. And on behalf of us, to you, the most important thing is to keep yourself and others safe. Thank you.